With monthly payments now averaging over $700, it begs the question, should you buy or lease your next car? Hi, I'm Rob West. The days of record low interest rates and barely noticeable inflation are behind us. So the decision of leasing versus buying isn't so clear cut. Maybe it's time to go over the pros and cons again. I'll do that today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Okay, so I mentioned that monthly new car payments are way up, as is inflation. But there's also another factor to throw into the mix, and it's that used car prices are way up too, especially late model vehicles with low mileage. All of this is making the idea of leasing a car a bit more palatable for some folks. As inflation squeezes the monthly budget, the need to cut costs becomes more important. Before we get into the nuts and bolts of buying versus leasing, however, let's understand the difference. Obviously, buying a new car is just that. Before you can drive it away, you have to pay the dealership every last nickel of the cost up front. And these days, that's a whopping figure. Of course, the best way to do this is with all cash up front, but that's getting harder to do. That means most people have to finance the purchase of a new car, ideally while still putting down as much as possible to minimize borrowing. Fortunately, there are a number of sites you can check out to get the lowest rates and best terms for an auto loan. These include Bankrate, NerdWallet, Driver, and LendingTree. Now, what does it mean to lease a vehicle? Well, you might compare it to signing a lease for an apartment, except with an apartment, you don't have mileage restrictions. A lease gives you use of the vehicle for a set period of time. Most leases run 36 months. Unless you pay the entire lease amount up front, you'll make monthly payments. When the term is up, you have two options. You can hand back the keys or purchase the vehicle. There, you probably have some negotiating power because the dealership will probably want you to buy the car so they don't have to deal with it. But most people turn the car back in, and that means they give up any equity the vehicle may have. Still, there are a few advantages that come with leasing a vehicle. The big one, of course, is that the monthly payment will usually be lower than if you purchase it. In some cases, leasing a new vehicle may have a lower monthly payment than if you buy a late model used one. With a lease, you're not paying down the principal on the car loan. Instead, your lease payments are really just covering the normal depreciation of the vehicle for the life of the lease. That's a real attraction for some people, getting to drive a newer car for less monthly outlay than with buying a used car. Plus, some people don't like the idea of having to sell a car when they need a new one. That's why most just trade them in, usually for less money than they could get if they sold them on their own. With a lease, when the term ends, you just drive back to the dealership and hand them the keys. A couple of other advantages to leasing, you may be able to deduct some of the expenses associated with it, especially if you use it for a business, and if you typically drive the same number of miles each month, or you don't drive much at all. Mileage restrictions shouldn't be a problem. But leasing definitely has a few downsides. We'll always tell you to keep making monthly payments to yourself once you pay off a car loan. That allows you to make an even bigger down payment when buying each new car, eventually getting to the point where you can pay all cash up front. Well, with leasing car after car, that never happens. Remember, your lease payments are really just covering the cost of depreciation for the dealer. When the lease is up, the dealership still owns the car. You've accrued zero equity. Also, with a car lease, you're usually limited to 10,000 miles a year. Go over that, and you'll be hit with big penalties. That could be a real problem if the length of your commute changes, or you want to finally take that big cross-country vacation. And while you won't be charged for normal wear and tear, the dealership will go over the car with a fine-tooth comb when you turn it in and charge you for every tiny scratch or ding. So while leasing may seem a little more attractive these days, I wouldn't recommend it for most folks. Still, the better option, in my view, is to buy a used car, perhaps a few years older than you would have before prices went so sky high. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back with much more. Stick around.
On American Family Radio, hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm a layman here to remind you that faith sharing is a barometer for your spiritual health. It's absolutely amazing how vocal we can be when talking about sports or a hot news item, and yet be totally tongue-tied when it comes to sharing our faith. And sharing your faith isn't something to ignore or take lightly. It's the only thing that Jesus mandated or commanded for you and every other Christian to do. And if it's not a priority, you know as well as I do, you won't do it. The day will go by and it won't even enter your mind, and you'll have a stack of missed opportunities you'll never know you had. You are the light of the world. Jesus said so. And you're to let your light so shine that everyone you meet today and every day will see God through you and want what you have. Now that's something to talk about. If you need help sharing your faith, go to igniteamerica.com.
Sound Mind Investing helps Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors who are just getting started, those making investment choices for a company retirement plan or college savings account, and people getting close to their retirement years. SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information is at soundmindinvesting.org. The website also features many articles about common money management and investing topics. soundmindinvesting.org.
Sandy Rios.
A lot of Black Americans are talking about how Black Lives Matter has undermined the whole issue of racial injustice.
Sandy Rios in the Morning delivers a level of wisdom and insight that's desperately needed during these uncertain times in America.
Black, white, brown, all kinds of people are saying to themselves, something is wrong with this picture.
Listen Monday through Friday from 7 until 8 Central here on American Family Radio.
When it comes to caring for your family, there's one critically important thing many people fail to do before the Lord calls them home. That one thing is to set your house in order. Organize important documents and account information for your loved ones. Create a will and more. If it sounds intimidating, don't worry. The 5-week Set Your House in Order study makes it easy with step-by-step instructions. And you can request your copy with your gift of $25 or more at moneywise.org/house.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. We'd love to hear from you. With lines open, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. Coming up on the broadcast today, we'll tackle a couple of emails, some really good ones coming in around paying off debt and protecting your credit score, a whole host of issues. We always enjoy hearing from you regularly as you write to us, and each email is always responded to by a MoneyWise coach, but many of them make their way on the air, and we'll do that today. We'll also talk about financial discipline. Discipline sounds painful, right? But it's closely related to discipleship. And when we think about financial disciplines, what are the benefits to us as we really lean into that? Well, that's our focus here, is financial disciplines, the habits that build integrity into your financial life, the disciplines of giving, saving, planning, and even paying down debt. But discipline can be a source of joy. I'll talk about that today and much more. Your calls as well, 800-525-7000. Let's go there now. We're going to begin today in Maryland. Rhonda, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi. Okay, so my question is my parents are getting older. There's four of us girls, and we've been struggling trying to figure out what's going to happen to them. Like, if, per se, they get, you know, maybe put into the nursing home or something like that, the only asset they really have is their home. Yeah. And I keep hearing, you know, there's like this 5-year look back and, right, you know, just different things that could happen, you know, where we couldn't hang on to their home. And we weren't sure exactly. I mean, we've looked at like maybe irrevocable trust or maybe putting our names on the deed, which I know that doesn't, I don't think that matters within that 5-year look back or whatever. No. I'm not sure. Is there a way that we can protect their home from, you know, getting taken by the nursing home if that's, you know, unfortunately.
Sure. It is something to look at, and it is something, Rhonda, you want to get some real expert counsel on. So I would visit with an estate attorney, perhaps even an elder law attorney, someone who specializes in this area. Of course, we want to be above board and do everything according to the law, and it does get complicated in terms of that look back that you described. There's tax issues that need to be thought about, and you know, there are ways through trusts and even what's called a life estate that you can protect the interest in a home. So if you create a life estate and transfer real estate, you incur no penalty if you're entering a nursing home, but provided that the transfer occurred at least 5 years before your illness or whatever led to the nursing home stay. So again, that's where it does get a bit complicated. And I think, you know, getting that counsel to make sure you understand what is it you're trying to accomplish, what is the situation that you have, and what, you know, legal instruments are there that could be put in place. Do you all have an estate attorney that you could reach out to?
No, not really. And that's what we've just been between us for. You know, we kept doing research, and it's just all so foreign to us. I mean, we're just not sure. You know, it would be fine if, you know, if we had to use that to pay, you know, for their care. I mean, that, you know, is obviously, I mean, that's what has to happens.
Sure.
But because that is their only asset, you know, it's like, I hate to see something like that happen. Yeah. Of course, you know, and then I think, well, one of them might go before the other or, you know, something like that. And I know that the house is safe as long as one of them are in the house, I assume.
Yes.
You know, so we just wasn't sure exactly what the best thing for us four girls could do for them, or, you know, basically be just for, you know, that's our family home. And we just weren't sure exactly, you know, we're getting to the end here. So we've got to do something. We're just not sure.
Absolutely. And that's where, I mean, it will be protected while they're there. The question is, what about estate recovery, where the state essentially tries to be reimbursed for Medicaid nursing home expenses if there were expenses covered? And if, to the extent you all want to keep the home, you know, in the future as an inheritance, that's where you would want to try to protect it. So what I would do, Rhonda, is reach out to a certified Kingdom advisor there in Maryland. If you go to our website, moneywise.org, and click Find a CKA, you'll find a list of certified Kingdom advisors in your area, and any one of them would have an estate attorney that they could refer you to, preferably somebody who's a godly estate attorney, and even better, somebody who is an elder law attorney. I think that really is your next step as you talk through all of this with them. But grateful that you all are walking alongside your parents in this season of life. I know that honors the Lord, and I think getting some wise counsel will go a long way, especially in a situation like this where it gets fairly complicated.
Can I ask real quick?
Sure.
I read somewhere, like, if, you know, one of the kids or something, because, you know, if one of us has to move in with the other, something happens where the other one passes away or has to go to the nursing home and we move in, isn't there something where if you're living there for a certain amount of time or something like that, is that maybe the best, you know, obviously maybe that might be the best thing? Can they take the home if a child's living there and taking care of the other parent?
Yeah, there are certain conditions related to, you know, who that would apply to and the age and so forth of that individual. So, I think that's where it does get fairly complicated.
Okay.
And so you're going to really want to get some good counsel on that. But
The
answers are there, and I'm confident you guys can figure out a path forward. But the key is to try to get ahead of it and do whatever planning you can do well in advance. So I think time is of the essence here, Rhonda, in terms of putting whatever in place that you can. But we appreciate your call today. God bless you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We have some lines open today. We'd love to hear from you. You know, just the other day we were talking about identity theft and how ID theft is really on the rise. You know, protecting your personal data against identity thieves is really critical. And the key is to put as many effective barriers as you can in place to discourage these identity thieves from trying to victimize you. Let me share with you just a few ideas on this, because we get questions on this all the time. And I think, you know, as you try to protect yourself in an increasingly digital world, these become more and more important all the time. First, and this sounds simple and obvious, and yet a lot of folks don't do it. I would say password protect your devices. The majority of Americans don't password protect their mobile phones, according to a recent cybersecurity survey. So make sure you have that password there on your device. Use a password manager. This is where you use software to manage your passwords so you can have them as long strings. You can easily update them or change them. You could use 1Password. That's the number 1Password. That's the app I use to manage my passwords, or one that's similar called LastPass. But in either case, make sure you're not using the same one repetitively. Make sure it's long, probably 12 to 16 characters, and change them regularly. This is huge. Watch out for phishing attempts. That's with a PH. This is where you're clicking on any suspicious-looking link in a text or an email, even the links that don't look suspicious. They may even have the logo of the financial institution you normally do business with right there in the email. But if there's a link in an email that's ultimately asking for you to put in personal information, just don't do it. If you need to access your account, go there directly through typing in the URL and going directly through your browser before you attempt to log in or put in any personal information. Never give out personal information over the phone, even if somebody says they're from the IRS. By the way, they won't contact you by phone out of the blue. They will send something in the mail first. But don't ever give a PIN number or a bank information or a social security number over the phone. Regularly check your credit reports. This one is so key. We've got to do that often. And protect your documents. Use a shredder as well. Hey, we'll be right back on MoneyWise. Stay with us.
A pregnant, homeless 18-year-old girl. A 60-year-old woman worn from the weight of a tough life. A young woman in her 20s, crying for the right to murder an unborn baby. It may sound like their lives are worlds apart, but they have more in common than you think. Rebecca Davis shares their stories in the article, Roe No More. The ending will have you on your knees in prayer and in praise. Take time to read this article today. You'll be glad you did. Go to afa.net/thestand.
Siri, what's the best way to save for college?
I'm not sure.
Well, what does the Bible say about co-signing for a loan or investing for retirement?
I don't know that either, but you can find those answers on the free MoneyWise app.
Really?
Sure. You can connect with the online community and get answers and encouragement from MoneyWise coaches.
That sounds great. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Got it. Learn more at MoneyWise.org.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA upholds the truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are worthy of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I couldn't have had the procedure I needed without CHM's help sharing the bills. That letter from a member displays Christian Healthcare Ministry's purpose to glorify God and serve His people. CHM is the original non-insurance voluntary health cost-sharing ministry, enabling its members to share the cost of each other's medical bills. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
Here at the AFA Foundation, we help families just like yours shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Chelsea Wildman.
We would love to work with you to see if a charitable gift annuity is right for your situation.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Why not reach out to the AFA Foundation team today?
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Phone lines are open at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you with whatever is on your mind financially speaking. Back to the phones we go to Kentucky. Joe, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Yes, this is Joe Sargent calling here from Kentucky. I was listening to your program this morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I was listening to your program this morning, and of course, I've been reading about it on the news. This $300 billion that they're going to spend on these student forgiveness loans.
Yeah.
There's a lot better plan that they can do for this that will help this country a lot more than that. Mm. I live here in eastern Kentucky, and I'm sure you know about all the flooding and ravaged counties that's here in southeastern Kentucky. If they would take that $300 billion and take it and spend that money up in those counties, because I've been there twice, my wife and I have been there twice, taking food and seeing what we can do to help. And when I'm seeing families and children sleeping in their cars and sleeping in tents, that's just not this is not a godly thing to do. I believe that most of these people, has these student loans, if they had a choice, that would be they should make that choice. Yes, let's give it to those people and help them get their homes and lives back together.
Yeah. Well, Joe, I can appreciate your comments today, and obviously you're living through this, and I agree. It really comes down to priorities. What you're referring to, for the benefit of our audience, most have heard by now, the Biden administration out yesterday that they'll provide up to $20,000 in debt cancellation to Pell Grant recipients, and then up to $10,000 in non-Pell Grant recipient debt cancellation. Federal loans only, of course. And this is for couples making $250,000 or less. Is this a good decision? Not in my opinion. This is inflationary, number one, during a very inflationary time. This is going to cause college tuition prices to go up. What about those that were responsible and saved and paid for college? And then there's your point, Joe, about what else could we be doing with this money? And where is this money coming from? I mean, essentially, this is on the backs of taxpayers as the government just cancels all of this debt made in good faith. So I completely resonate, sir. And obviously, this is not a done deal. There is still even the question of how this was gone about and whether or not it's constitutional and appropriate for the president to make this kind of action. So we'll certainly be watching. Unfortunately, these issues are so politicized and political, that's a shame. But our heart goes out to your community and what you all have been facing there, and appreciate you weighing in on the program today, sir. God bless you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you today. Let's head to Alabama. Larry, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Larry from Alabama. Online.
Yes, sir.
Have you heard anything about tokens being for sale?
Are you talking about cryptos?
Yeah.
I'm very familiar with these, and you know, I think the key here, Larry, is that the cryptocurrency, which is essentially virtual money that's for the most part unregulated in traditional terms, the technology behind the cryptos is not going away. It has a wide-reaching application, and we're going to see it here in a whole host of areas. As a means of exchange, though, there's still a lot of question about where this is all headed. Obviously, central banks across the world are looking at this. They don't like the fact that it's challenging their systems, and so they're concerned. That could mean more regulation, which is why we've seen a huge sell-off across the board in Bitcoin and others, just as they find their way. So I think it's something to watch. Again, I don't think it's going anywhere because that blockchain technology is going to be used in a variety of contexts. But it's not for, in my view, Larry, investing. It's highly speculative. And, well, we've seen that play out as of late, just in the incredible volatility and recent sell-off in the price of Bitcoin. Bitcoin prices are down nearly 60% year to date, trading well off their highs, which were at $69,000 per Bitcoin back in 2021. And, you know, experts are really coming around to this idea that Bitcoin is no longer viewed as an inflation hedge. You know, it's trading in lockstep with equities, and it's dealing with outside forces and factors like the unknown regulatory environment related to them that's been weighing on them as of late. So I would stay far from that. You know, my general rule is if you don't understand it, don't invest in it. But I appreciate you checking with us, sir. God bless you. Let's head to Arkansas next. Shara, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Good morning. Well, my husband and I, believe, are home. But in the meantime, we want to get rid of all our debt. Well, we have this particular credit card that we should have paid off by the end of this month. So my question is, should we cut that card up or should we put it back in the closet somewhere for emergency purposes only?
Yeah. You know, I think, you know, as you get out of debt, there's a couple of thoughts here. I mean, number one is I'm not one who says credit cards should never be used. There are some that'll say that, and I would concur they can be dangerous if they're not used properly. But if you're able to manage them responsibly, and that means using it for convenience, recognizing there is a tendency to spend more on plastic than with cash, studies say up to 30% more because we're not parting with our money. But if we are able to do it in a way that's responsible, and that means only for budgeted items and then paid off in full. And if that's been a problem in the past, I'd want you to really get to a place where you can do that moving forward. Then I would say hang on to it because it can be very convenient and there are rewards and, you know, there's ways to use them that are effective, but not as your emergency fund, Shara. I really would love to see you have 3 to 6 months expenses in a liquid savings account. We don't want to fund emergencies with debt. We need to do that with savings. So dial in your spending plan, cut back so you can have margin and build up 3 to 6 months in savings for your emergencies. We'll be right back on MoneyWise. Stay with us.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
Are you in need of hope, encouragement, and the love of God? I'm Pastor Salem. I'd like to invite you to join us for the Christian Worship Hour. For decades, I've been teaching the Word of God so that people everywhere can experience the love and power of a personal relationship with our Lord. Tune into this station this weekend and prepare to be blessed and encouraged by another life-changing message.
Learn more about our program at ChristianWorshipHour.com.
Sound Mind Investing offers investing guidance grounded in the stewardship principles found in Scripture. Since 1990, SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire knowledge and confidence related to investing and overall money management. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a wise and faithful steward in the area of investing. More information about SMI and its approach to financial wisdom for living well is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Sometimes you just need a little guidance to help point you in the right direction.
In 300 feet, turn right.
If you're feeling lost when it comes to your finances, we're here to help. You can connect with a trained MoneyWise coach absolutely free. A MoneyWise coach can help you build a personal budget, develop a plan to knock out your debt, and more. Visit MoneyWise.org/connect. That's MoneyWise.org/connect.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. This is where we offer biblical wisdom for your financial decisions and choices. Related to our previous caller on credit cards, I have a question for you. Are you struggling with credit card, medical debt, or other unsecured loans, and you don't know where to start? You know, so many folks are turning to credit cards in these challenging inflationary times. We're seeing a dramatic increase, not only in the number of accounts being opened, but in the balances of unsecured debt, specifically on credit cards. And with interest rates rising, well, the variable interest rates on credit cards are rising along with them. They were already high. They're going higher. What do you do? Where do you turn? Well, let me offer one solution. Our trusted partner, Christian Credit Counselors, an underwriter of this program, offers a debt management program that can get you out of debt 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. It's my preferred way of getting out of debt, not debt settlement, where you get in arrears and collections and try to go in and negotiate a discount, not debt consolidation, where you take out a new loan to replace it, certainly not a home equity loan where you convert unsecured debt to securitized by your home with a variable rate. And even if you didn't have a variable rate, I wouldn't touch it. So that leaves debt management, where through a nonprofit credit counseling agency, you can get lower interest rates, a fixed monthly payment that fits into your budget. And the best part of all is you do the hard work month after month after month to get it paid off. And hopefully, as a part of that process, create the disciplines that allow you not to get out of it the easy way, but to really train yourself to never get back in that position again. So if you'd like to learn more, you can visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. All right, let's head back to the phones. Jimmy in North Carolina, I understand you have a comment about the loan forgiveness.
Yes, I have two comments. The universities and colleges have been increasing in value and prices for the last 20 years. So I think that probably they should be the ones who should forgive the college debt versus the government. And if the another issue, if the government wants to help the middle class, how about they forgive the federal taxes for those making under $125,000 versus people who have committed themselves to make a payment? That's my comment. So.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Jimmy. You know, one of the challenges, the reason college tuition inflation has been on the dramatic increase as of late is because of the proliferation, if you will, of student debt from the federal government, how easy it is to just run up these huge tabs with no consideration given in many cases to how it's going to be repaid. The easy access to funds has really given these colleges an opportunity to see these kinds of tuition increases. Now, many of them are struggling just because, you know, the population data is moving against them in terms of the number of potential students they have and just the massive overhead for these universities of just keeping the lights on and the physical plant operating. And so, you know, they're in just a real challenging spot, many of them, especially those that aren't also offering online education, which is really one of the ways that they can move to profitability, if you will, or sustainability. So they're not in a position to forgive it. My problem with this is the U.S. government doesn't have the ability to do this. It's inflationary. It really is going to increase college costs even more. And it really is penalizing those who were thoughtful and saved diligently for the cost of college. But I certainly resonate with what you're saying, and I appreciate you weighing in on the program today. Cecil in Texas, you're next. Go ahead.
Morning. I appreciate your program and what you're doing. And between you and Hillsdale College, I'm trying to stay above water. Anyway, my question is, I recently got a I-bond, the inflation bond from the government over my computer. And so far I have received no paperwork from the government indicating that, hey, we're holding, $10,000 of your money in our bank. Yeah. My bank normally gives me a statement every month. And I'm just wondering, does the government give any, this particular situation, do they give you anything that you can, you know, a piece of paper or something that says, hey, yeah, we've got your money? And, of course, with a gentler, kinder IRS, will I need some sort of paperwork to show where I put that money or anything like that? Do you know?
Yeah. You made this purchase of the electronic bonds through treasurydirect.gov. Is that right?
Yes, correct.
Yeah. So you should have received an email confirming the bond purchase. And then at any time, you can log into your account at treasurydirect.gov and access the account and then print off any information there related to the account, the value of the bonds that you have, and so forth. But they're not going to send you any paper bonds, and they're trying to do more and more, if not operate exclusively through electronic means. So I think your best kind of documentation, if you will, is through the website and then printing off electronic forms or taking a screenshot or printing the account statement, and then through email confirming the purchase.
Okay. Well, yeah. All right. I have gone on the website, and I've got an account with them and all that, and I have seen that. But I was just wondering, you know, sometimes, well, that's your printer. That's not our official paperwork. So, okay,
sure,
you've cleared that up, and I sure appreciate it.
All right, Cecil, thank you for your call, sir. God bless you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call with your financial questions today. We'd love to hear from you. To Tennessee, Debbie, I understand you have a question about the loan forgiveness. Go right ahead.
Yes, thank you very much for taking the call. I am multitasking, so I can't see on the line. Can you please address for me, I haven't heard anything about loan forgiveness for parent loan. I mean, I put my signature for a couple of my kids, and it's been a real struggle. So I'm just wondering, is that going to be addressed as part of the loan forgiveness?
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Debbie. And based on what we are hearing, according to the White House, the student loan forgiveness also applies to the Parent PLUS loans. So, yes, the inclusion of the Parent PLUS loans means that, that's going to include millions of additional families that will apply or be able to take advantage of this forgiveness up to $10,000 of federal student loans. So, yes, the answer is that's what the White House is telling us. Thanks for your call today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's take an email. We love when you email us questions at moneywise.org related to the issues that you're facing, and we always try to get you an answer with somebody, one of our coaches who can address you personally, and then many of those we tackle on the air as well. This one comes from Jane. She writes, I have a 24-year-old grandson who needs help. His spending is out of control. His parents are not like this and have tried to help. He does okay when he's with them and they keep track of his spending, but he moved out and made a lot of unwise decisions. He's now in debt at $5,000, has no job, doesn't have a clue as to what he would like to do. This is heartbreaking. What advice do you have for me? And I would say a couple of things, Jane. Obviously, I don't know the situation, but just in general, I think, number one, letting him experience the consequences of some of these mistakes, which he already is often the best recipe for helping him to learn how to be responsible in managing God's money. Coming in and just wiping it out once again is not going to teach him through the school of hard knocks. Number two, if you want to help, do it in a way that's going to reinforce the right behavior. If he's willing to tackle his debt, maybe you match it and get him connected with a MoneyWise coach to help him set up a budget. We'll be right back.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers Real Truth for Today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
This is Jan Markell, and next on Understanding the Times Radio, I play a message given by Michelle Bachman at our recent Understanding the Times bi-monthly conference here in Minneapolis. We covered current events from a biblical perspective that night as we try to equip you to become watchmen on the wall in these last days. That's next on Understanding the Times Radio.
Saturday afternoon at 1 Central and Sunday afternoon at noon Central on American Family Radio.
If you enjoy this radio program, you will love all of the many different resources waiting for you at MoneyWise.org. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with a community of thousands of Christians striving to be faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at MoneyWise.org.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Here in our final segment of the broadcast today, we'd love to hear from you. We've got a few lines open, 800-525-7000 with whatever is on your mind today. That's 800-525-7000. You know, we often talk about financial disciplines here on this program, balancing those financial disciplines. The Bible tells us that discipline is an important part of the Christian life. In fact, discipline and discipleship are very closely connected. Those two words come from the same Latin root, a word that means to learn. Disciples learn to be more like Christ through discipline. And while discipline is hard, it can also be, and this is counterintuitive, a source of joy. Listen to Hebrews 12:11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. You see, discipline in this verse can refer to correction or punishment that God uses to help his children grow in moral integrity. Discipline can hurt, but it can also be life-changing because step by step, God is making us more like Christ. Discipline also refers to any correct behavior or attitude that helps us maintain integrity. For instance, prayer is a spiritual discipline. It's something we must practice consistently if we want to grow closer to God. Spending time in the Word, of course, another spiritual discipline, as is fasting. Practicing these disciplines, though, requires sacrifice, hard work, and determination. But as Hebrews 12:11 says, they can produce a harvest of righteousness and peace. You know, here on MoneyWise, our focus is on financial disciplines. These are the habits that build integrity into your financial life. Disciplines that include giving, saving, planning, and even paying down debt. The verse from Hebrews tells us something we already know. Discipline hurts. But discipline can also be a source of joy, and here's why. The results of discipline are positive. We can rejoice when our nest egg grows, when we see progress in paying off our loans, when we see the fruits of our planning and generosity. These happy outcomes make the hard work of saving and paying down debt and planning and giving worthwhile. When we follow God's blueprint for stewardship and integrity and money matters, we experience peace in our financial life. And when you compare the lack of financial discipline to careful stewardship, well, it's easy to see which is more joyful. It's much better to have all your ducks in a row than to constantly be chasing them around the pond. One more thought about financial discipline. As hard as we try, none of us will make the right financial choices every time. So whether you just blew right past the budget for the month or you missed a loan payment, it's not the end of the world. Acknowledge your mistakes. Get help if you need it. Submit your plans to the Lord and get back on track. Our example for the disciplined and joyful life is, of course, Jesus himself. Let me wrap up with a verse about discipleship from 1 Peter 1, verses 13 to 16. It reads, "Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy, because I am holy.'" And I hope that's an encouragement to you today as you do the hard work of practicing financial disciplines. It's not going to be easy, but there is joy and peace and really fulfillment and freedom that comes from living that disciplined life. I hope you'll lean into that and experience the joy that God has for you. May that be an encouragement to you today. All right, as we round out this final segment of the broadcast, the final remaining phone calls that we have, 800-525-7000. Brenda's in Arkansas. Brenda, you go right ahead.
Thank you, sir, for taking my call, and God bless you for what you do. I have a question about taking a loan out on my TSP. I work for the post office. It would be a 3% on that interest on a loan for TSP. To pay off my credit card, which is I owe $2,200 on it, which is at 24%, and pay down my car, which is 13%, I think, interest. So,
yeah.
Well, what should I do there? Should I just
sure, a couple of thoughts. I'm not a fan of borrowing from a TSP or a 401k. First of all, that's money that's not available for its intended purpose, which is to be able to put away for the long term, to compound that and grow it over time so that you can then have it available in retirement. If you were to separate and leave, in this case, federal employment, the outstanding TSP loan would have to be paid back within 90 days. And I think for that reason, I'd love to see you do two things. One is with regard to the credit cards, let's look at a credit counseling program. I would recommend you at least start by contacting our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org and just see what they can do in terms of interest rate reductions to get you on a scheduled monthly payment that fits into your budget, which on average allows you to pay those back 80% faster. And then I'd look at refinancing that car note, not extending the term, but seeing if you can get that interest rate down. But I'm not a fan of using the TSP. If you are putting in through salary deferral, you can always decrease that temporarily and get more going toward debt reduction, but I wouldn't borrow from the existing TSP money, Brenda.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Thanks for your call today. We appreciate it. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's go back to an email. This one simply says, I'm pulling it up here. Do I still need emergency savings if I have enough credit available for emergencies? And this comes from James. And James, I would just simply say the purpose of emergency savings is to keep you out of debt. The purpose of credit cards is to get you into debt. So let's not mix the two. Credit cards are really not an acceptable tool for emergency savings. A credit card is only to be used in a disciplined fashion, which means budgeted items paid off in full at the end of the month. So what do you do then? Well, what I would do is try to free up some margin. That is, cut back your spending so that you can have a bit left over that you could use to systematically fund your emergency savings. Let's set an initial goal of $1,500. That'd be a great first step. And then if you have any credit card debt, let's then focus on getting that paid off. Once it is, the ultimate goal in that emergency fund is 3 to 6 months liquid reserves. Liquid meaning not invested, readily available. I'd use a high yield savings account linked to your checking. So it's only perhaps 2 to 3 days at the most away from being in your checking account through an electronic transfer, and you can even get a little bit of interest on it. James, we appreciate you checking in with us. To Florida we go. Gary, you're next on the program. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hello. I had a question. I worked for a company back in the 80s, and they invested some money for me, and I got a letter recently from the Social Security telling me that the money's invested, but I don't know how to go about recouping it or finding it since the company's gone out of business.
Yeah, now you wouldn't have gotten anything from the Social Security Administration on that. That's the part that's confusing me.
Yeah, it actually says it's from them, and I contacted them, and they said you'll get a call back in a few days, but I haven't received any type of correspondence from them. But okay. It was an actual letter from them.
Hmm. Related to an investment, though, with a company no longer in business. Interesting. Yeah, I think you're going to need to just track that down with them. I'm a little confused as to why they would be reaching out to you related to what you're describing. I mean, there are ways through a company that's gone out of business to see if the assets were purchased by another company or whether there's some other way to recoup this investment. Likely there's not if they just truly are defunct, but it's worth looking into. And so SSA.gov, I'd just be diligent in trying to get either a virtual or an in-person meeting scheduled, or at the very least a phone call with somebody who can help you. Gary, let us know how that turns out. I'm sorry I couldn't be of more help to you on that. Let's see, Tennessee, Patty, you'll be next on the program. Go right ahead.
Hi. What I'm calling about is I'm going to be 70 in a little over a week. I'm so excited. I never thought I'd live this long.
Congratulations.
And I ended up being kind of forced into retirement sooner than I wanted to be. But I have a PARA account, a public employees account, the 401k.
Yes.
Several years ago, closed the 504 account that I had with them because they just kept losing money. And now the 401k is doing exactly the same thing. I've lost over $4,000 in a year.
Mm. Yeah.
In my investment. So
yes.
What I want to do is I don't need really quick access to the money, but I'd like to roll the money over into like Lear Capital, silver and gold. I think it's got a better retention of money and stuff like that, but because I plan on living a while longer, now that I'm older, I can make that plan.
There you go. Well, first of all, happy birthday to you, Patty, next week. That's so exciting. That's a huge milestone that you should celebrate. And just remember, God's not through with you yet. His calling doesn't have an expiration date. So look for what he has for you in this season of life as you use your wisdom and experience in his service. With regard to that 401k, I'm going to push back just a little bit. I'm not a big fan of being highly concentrated in gold and silver. It tends to be more volatile. I realize these are fearful times in terms of the markets, but over the long haul, it's not going to perform as well. I understand you're disconcerted about losing that $4,000, but this is a period of time where the market has lost some value on the heels of a 12-year bull market, and the market will recover well ahead of this economy and move to higher ground. In my opinion, your best option for growing your wealth over the next couple of decades, if the Lord tarries, is to leave it right where it is. Just take a look at that diversified portfolio and see if you need to change the allocation. But I would not go to gold and silver. Thanks for your call. That's going to do it for us today. Thank you to Pat Montague, Devin Patrick, and Robert Sutherland. Couldn't do it without them. So grateful to have you along with us today as well.
I trust you'll come back and join us again tomorrow. I'll be here same time, same place, Lord willing. We'll look for you then. God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.